Thank you for listening to the Ablaze Church Sermon Podcast. Our purpose at Ablaze is to love God, love others, follow Jesus, and tell others. If you are looking for a church home in the Tulsa area, we'd love to have you join us for worship on Saturdays at 6:30 p.m. or Sundays at 10:30 a.m. For more information, please visit our website at ablazechurch.org.
Well, this is the Pentecost Day. And kind of, we seem to be just a little bit running out of sequence, aren't we? Because this is New Testament. Last week, we were back with King Solomon, right? King Solomon, his wisdom. Now, all of a sudden, how do we go about 1,000 years, and there we are at the day of Pentecost? Well, we have to do a little bit of gymnastics. See, Pastor Dreyer and I, we like to work about a year ahead of time, get all of our subjects, and then sometimes we kind of overlook something. But I said, you know what? I think this works out, because we were going to talk about a kingdom divided. You see, when Solomon, when he dies, and the kingdom then is to go to his son. By the way, it goes to his son, Rehoboam, whose nickname was Stupid, and he made some really boneheaded decisions, and as a result of that, 10 out of the 12 tribes seceded from the Union. No longer is it like one nation under God, but they have been disobedient, and so the whole thing gets to be a shambles. It is divided. It is divided. So we're going to call this the Great Rift. But you might know about the Great Rift, which is a very deep valley. It's a kind of a fault in the earth. It goes all the way from the Dead Sea through most of the continent of Africa. And when we're in Tanzania and you're flying over the Serengeti and then you're heading toward Kilimanjaro, there's a very deep valley. And you just don't see the beginning and don't see the end. It's a great divide, which is kind of a picture of humanity. Now, all began before time began, and that is the division between God and Satan. Or maybe already, maybe the creation already started. It doesn't say when, but it happened. And so you got Satan and one-third of the angels over here, and on the other side you've got God, two-thirds of the angels, and of course he's almighty. We know who's going to win in the end, don't we? But in the meantime, there is that sense of division, and that division really, humanity is there, it begins to affect them. The fall, where now we have God and man separated. Man has separated himself off from God by his disobedience. And then, in addition to that, you begin to have, on that first day of sin, a division between Adam and Eve. He's saying, oh, it's all her fault. And then we have the division between brother and brother, Cain and Abel. And then we have the division of languages at the time of the Tower of Babel. God divides the languages, divides the people, and they scatter. It's humanity all scattered. And then you have wars, rumors of wars. All these terrible things are happening. And just to fast forward then to about 1,000 or about 900 B.C., and you've got Solomon and his son, Rehoboam, him taking over, and then that division between the north and the south. And all that division, by the way, is brought to a unity on the day of Pentecost. It's kind of the reversal of the Tower of Babel, when, okay, the languages divided, and now, as we read in Acts chapter 2, humanity gets united once again. The common language of the grace of God, the common language of the Spirit that indwells, fills, it just creates a brand new humanity, the church that having its birthday on that day. But you see, we have a lot of animosity, hatred, toxic self-interest, sin in a capital, all capital letters, and a seriously divided humanity, a seriously divided nation. But God is always in the process of restoring. So we're going to talk about first the great reunion, a reconciliation, a restoration, which is activated by the Holy Spirit. You see, because of man's sin, God had to send a Savior. We couldn't fix it up. We could not bridge that gap of division. God had to step in and do something that humanity absolutely couldn't do. And God did that by sending Jesus, who gave his life as a sacrifice for our sins on the cross, shed his blood for us, rose again from the dead, and said, okay, there it is. But that blessing, the fruit of that has got to be activated somehow, some way in the lives of humanity. And that's why God sent the Holy Spirit, so that there can actually be that great reunion. And Peter, on that day, he quotes the prophet Joel in the latter days, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. That's the outpouring of the grace and the Spirit of God. And the mighty rushing wind, etc. You know, that story, as we just saw it. And as a result, there comes to be, as Paul later reflects on that, one body, one Spirit, one hope that belongs to our call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of us all, who is above all, through all, and in all. Or look on the screen at Galatians 3:28. Where as a result of it, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, or male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So you see the oneness, that great reunion, what Jesus did for humanity, now activated by the Holy Spirit. By the way, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is person. The Holy Spirit is, you know, active personality, as much person as you and I are. He is the third person of the Godhead, of the Holy Trinity. So we're going to be talking about and exploring through the Word of God what that power is, what that reality is, what that presence means, which leads us into the great renewal, from the great rift to the great reunion, and then personally for each of us, that great renewal. In Psalm 51, David says, and renew in me a right spirit, a renewing. Sometimes, you know, we let it stagnate. We need the renewing. Sometimes it gets kind of old and stale, and we need that renewing. Because every day in the life of a Christian is intended by God to be a day of really exciting adventure, a day of serving, a day of being really actively in the presence of God, because the Holy Spirit is transformative. He is gentle, and sometimes it's a still small voice, and yet profoundly, profoundly transformative in our lives. And here's the neat thing. It does not depend upon our efforts. It's not a matter of works. It's totally a matter of faith and trust, relying upon God's incredible promises to his people. In the cross training that we've been going through, and now have a little break, lesson 9 and lesson 10 were about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit and the Spirit-filled life, in which you dug more deeply into the Scriptures, but it always is important to go back and to see what does the Word of God tell us about this, and what can we conclude from that. And it is important for us, number one, for our own spiritual lives, our personal spiritual lives. We need the Holy Spirit. Then what about the corporate life of a church called Ablaze? It would be an embarrassment if we didn't have, you know, we're not ablaze with the Holy Spirit, right? Yeah, that would be an embarrassing name. We want to change it, you know, Church of Peace. You know. Okay, so we need that renewing power of the Holy Spirit. We were studying that, but it's important for the corporate life of the church to have that. And demographics don't have the last word. The most important thing about us is, are we alive with the Spirit of God? Is that what is moving? Is that where we get our marching orders? Is that where we get our empowerment? And we have to be plugged in on that. Now, this might not seem like the average experience in a person's life, but the choice is ours whether we're going to live a life that is superficial or supernatural. Get it? Superficial or supernatural. And that's really our choice. The superficial life is a life of frustration. The supernatural life is a life of empowerment. The lifestyle of the human nature, that sinful nature, is so superficial. Even if a person is sincere and says, boy, I really want to be good. I want to do the right thing. Oh, I want to serve God. And you try with all of your might. You're never really going to be able to pull it off apart from the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, because it is meant to be a supernatural life. Did you know that God created you for a supernatural life? I mean, personally, do you know that? Did you know that He created the church to be a supernatural body? To have, you know, remember the glove? So how much power is there in the glove? None. How much power is there in the hand? But the hand, the glove can do what the hand can do. So the church can do what God can do. Am I right? Yes. Okay. Now, to be born again, that's a supernatural act on the part of God. To be guided, to be led, to be taught, to be, empowered, to be comforted, to be counseled. That's a supernatural act by the Holy Spirit. To be filled, to be living moment by moment in God's power. Ephesians 5:18 tells us this: do not get drunk on wine, which is dissipation, and that must be a bad thing, I guess. That's kind of your DUI, you know, trying to drive your life under the influence, but the wrong influence, as alcohol can just kind of take over a person's life. Instead, it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Live under that influence as the driving force, the power within your life. And it all depends on how you are connected. So, okay, about ready for an illustration. There's a guy. He had a lot of money, and he wanted to spend it on the most expensive car that he could get. And so he went around shopping, and he saw a Porsche 911 Turbo. He says, man, I want that car. It's going to really get out and move. And so as he's testing it out, and he's just having such a good time, accelerates, you know, just snaps his neck as he's accelerating. And he came to a stoplight, and he stopped, but a guy in a moped pulled alongside of him, tapped on the window, puts the window down. Says, mind if I look inside? That's really quite a car. Yeah, go ahead. So he looked, craned his neck, looked around, said, wow, that's great. Well, have a great day. Enjoy it. And so the owner of the Porsche said, I'm going to show this guy what this baby has. So he took off, he accelerated, you know, tire screeching, smoking, and within about a block, he's at 100 miles an hour. I'm exaggerating, of course. But there he looks in the rearview mirror, and guess what? The moped is right behind him, keeping right up with him. Whoa. So push it all the way down, and he's getting 150 miles an hour. And there he is right behind him, but there's a stoplight ahead, so he pulled, you know, he stopped. But wham, that moped ran right into him. Oh, the driver of the car felt so sorry. He got out. He says, are you okay? Are you okay? Can I do anything? He says, yeah, you can unhook my suspenders from your side view mirror. So you get the point, folks. What are you connected to? You see, when you're trying to do it yourself, you're on the moped, and you're not connected. But when you do it in the power of the Spirit, you know, you're connected to something really intended to be very powerful for our lives. So we've got that great restoration, the great renewal. We've got all of that, of living the life that is supernatural. And, well, today we really want to not only express that, we're going to experience that. Well, there's somebody here who has a little something to share about experiencing some guidance by the Holy Spirit. You know, at a point in life saying, you know what, this is too important for me to decide. And looking to the Holy Spirit, headmaster at Emmanuel Lutheran Christian Academy, Steve Zender. Yeah, how would you like to come up and share with us?
Hi, everybody. Good morning. Thank you for giving me a few minutes to talk a little bit. So obedience in the Spirit, you know, what does that look like for you and for me? I know it looks like success. When we listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can be successful. Not ourselves, but Jesus can be successful through us. So Art just asked me to talk a little bit about how I got here. And so I agreed to do that because I want him to be my friend. And because I really like Art. I really like Art and Connie, too. Love you both very much. Obedience. Sometimes I do it well. Most of the time, I probably don't. Most of the time, I listen to my own voice. And sometimes the Holy Spirit taps me on the shoulder and says, please listen. So in 2016, I got a call from Pastor Wilkie. He's the pastor of Emmanuel Church. And he wanted to tell me about the school there. And he the first conversation was not really. Oh, I'm sorry. The first, I was told to stand on this X. Well, if you know me, I don't stand anywhere very long. Okay, so it was just a lot of information, told me about the school and about the great things about Emmanuel, and I talked to him about what was going on in my life in Omaha, Nebraska, and what I was doing there at the Lutheran Junior Senior High School there, and so that conversation led to another, and then I had a conversation with Nathan Armour, who is the board president. He called, and then they invited Jenny and I to come down and to see Broken Arrow and Emmanuel and meet some people, and especially have some board interviews and things like that. So one thing I've always done in my life is when something like this comes up, I never say no to a discussion, because I always want to have... I want the Lord to speak to me about things in my life, because I've spent so much time not doing that. I've realized over the years that I really need to always do that, whether it's little things or big things. And so we came down, and we had a really great visit, and one thing led to another, and they offered me the position, a call, as we call it in the Lutheran Church, a call to come and be the headmaster. So that's where the trouble really began, right? I had been in Omaha for 15 years. In 2001, my wife and I and my two kids moved there to open up a brand new junior senior high school. First year, 42 kids, 7 teachers. It was a great year. That was 9/11. Remember that? So it wasn't a great start to the school year, but it was an incredible opportunity for us to minister to our children and to do a lot of praying, and we did a lot of praying together. And so in that catastrophe, in that evil, the Holy Spirit came forward in that little school. And so we grew over the years, and again, I was there 15 years, and we raised our two kids there. 2 years after being there, we adopted 2 children from Russia. One of our teachers had gone there, came back, said, hey, we are at this orphanage. There's these 2 kids. How old were they? Well, they were 10 and 8, I think, when they first told us. We thought 8 and 10, yeah, or 10 and 8, either way. And so, I'm sitting in the office, and she's talking, and my principal's in there, and I'm like, I'm being a good Christian. Oh, we're just going to pray the Lord finds them a family. 10 months later, they're in our home. So that's how the Holy Spirit works. So we had a wonderful time in Omaha. We raised... Through the Lord's power and the Holy Spirit's power, we raised a wonderful school there that benefited many families. But, the few years before that, my heart was stirring. Like not staying in one place too long. I just felt like there was something that I wanted, that God wanted me to do, something more. And I didn't know what that was. Again, I loved being there, but there were some changes going on, and especially in my heart. So Jenny and I together had to make a pretty big decision. So we prayed about it, of course, and this was mid-April, so there just wasn't a lot of time to make this, this decision. I mean, Emmanuel had to know, Concordia had to know, so we prayed, but the problem was we just kept going back and forth. One day we were coming, one day we were not. And that went back and forth. And I had told Nathan that I need at least 2 weeks to make this decision, because I didn't want to make it, in haste. And so finally, after being unsure for so long, Jenny and I decided that we were going to spend 3 days not just in prayer, but in fasting. And if you know and have been taught about fasting, it quickens the decisions that the Lord already has for you, but it helps you to understand. And so through reading the Word, coming home, for those 3 evenings, not turning the TV off, not doing anything but sitting in the living room and talking, a lot of talking and conversing and what do you think, but praying and reading his word. We read in 2 Kings about this King Hezekiah who was in big trouble with the Assyrian army, and Isaiah came to him and said, "Lord's got a plan for you. Stop worrying about it. Just this is what you need to do." And it was through that experience and talking about that that we knew that God wanted us to come to Emmanuel. So we made that decision to come here, and it has been a blessing. And one thing I've always learned is that there's always a lot of decisions to be made in our lives, right? And a lot of times when you don't know what to do, there's one person that does, and that's the person of the Holy Spirit, along with a lot of other good Christian mentors. And I've learned that, too, is that when I have a decision to make, I never make it on my own. I talk to a lot of people, and especially I talk to the Lord. So for all of us, that should be true, should it not? That we all have little decisions, like I said, or big decisions. And I heard a pastor just recently through a podcast. His name is Michael Todd. He's a pastor of Transformation Church in Tulsa. If you haven't heard his podcast, listen to this man teach the word, and he taught on the Holy Spirit, and he taught about something. If you see no future, it's because you haven't asked the Holy Spirit what your future is all about, because only through Jesus Christ, only through his Spirit, and only through us submitting to what God wants us to do in our lives, that's where, again, we will find our greatest success, and through him. So thank you for just letting me share a few minutes.
Thank you so much, Steve. It's just really a blessing. You hear how God is working, how God can work, and really giving us all a picture of what we may desire from the Lord and how we want him to be working in our lives. So the concluding part of the message is I'm going to talk about that great relationship. In John 10, verse 10, we're told this, that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." That is what God wants every one of us to have. And then in the 15th chapter of John, Jesus is recorded as talking about the vine and branches, about a very special relationship. And in that relationship, where does the power come from? Does the power come from the branch so that the branch can bear fruit? No, the power comes from the vine. Now, that picture, as we apply it into our lives, is the power comes from the Holy Spirit. We're the branches. We're called to bear fruit. But if we're severed from the vine, or if there's somehow the life of the vine is not getting through to the branch, it's not going to work very well. And our life is going to be superficial and not supernatural as God wants it to be. So let me give you a couple of ways to start thinking about this. Because in 1 Corinthians, in the first couple of chapters, it describes three kinds of people. The first one it describes is what we call the natural man. Now, the natural man, we're going to let this represent like a driver's seat, control center, throne, something like that. Anyway, the ruling place. So in the life of the unbeliever, or the natural man, what we are by nature is Jesus in that life. So we're going to put Jesus outside of the life, in fact, face down. So who's running the show? This would be self. Self running the show. Self on the throne, deciding, you know, what's good for me, what's bad for me, but it is not organized around the center of the will of God, around the person of Jesus Christ. And so there's going to be a lot of discord and disharmony and a lot of denial in that kind of a life. Have you ever found that people who do not have a faith in Jesus Christ? There's some pretty sad things going on inside of their lives. Well, then he describes a second kind of a person. Now, we're going to get Jesus. First of all, we've got to get me off of the throne. Secondly, we got to get Jesus on the throne. Now, there are certain kinds of characteristics. When Jesus is occupying the throne, the Bible calls that the spiritual man. Spiritual meaning that the Holy Spirit is bringing the living presence, the life of Jesus Christ to be lived out in this person. So obedience is no longer a drag and something that you just don't want to do. It becomes a delight. The person loves the Word of God and just can't wait to get into more of the Bible. Loves to fellowship with fellow Christians. The spiritual person, loves the things of God and has a sense that he's being empowered and led by the Spirit of the Lord. That's the spiritual person. And it's supposed to be the normal kind of a thing. Feeds regularly on the Word. Has victory in life over sin, like over the lusts and over envy and over anger. And has love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, which you know as the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Life is no longer just some kind of a roller coaster up and down and up and down and up and down. It isn't the kind of a life where, the merry-go-round, you go around and same old problem, same old sin, same old, same old, same old. You just see the same old scenery. But it is actually a life that has freedom and joy and, again, victory. That is the life where Jesus occupies the throne. Self is off of the throne. But what happens if, and by the way, this can happen in any Christian's life, is Jesus is kind of pushed off the throne, and then self gets back on the throne. Now, Jesus is still in the life somewhere. The person says, I know when I die, I'm going to heaven because Jesus died for my sins. But that person just really is not experiencing the joy and the peace, the victory over sin, and those kinds of things that are to be the normal part of the Christian life. Now, if you say, hey, you know what, that's me a lot of the time. And you see, the Bible has a good way of diagnosing us, doesn't it? It says, okay, that is what the Bible calls the carnal person or the person of the flesh. It has a lot of the characteristics of the natural person, the one who's without Jesus. Because, when you're not trusting Jesus moment by moment and submitting everything in life to him, you're going to have, again, you're not going to be in sync with the plan of God for your life. You're not going to be in harmony with that. You're going to have a lot of difficulties and problems. So, what is the answer? Now, God has a beautiful answer, and that is the ongoing presence and power, the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Used the terminology earlier about activating. The Holy Spirit activates everything that Jesus brought for us, and it's a big package. When Jesus came into your life, it was a big package. Not only forgiveness of sins, not only you become a child of God, not only you become a part of that worldwide body of Christ, not only do you have the gift of heaven, but you also have the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, he comes to dwell. But it's so easy to put Jesus off the throne and to try to walk not in the Spirit, but to walk in the flesh. In the cross training, we learned about walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh and in the ways of our natural inclinations and desires. And so it's important for us, but it is available to every Christian. As I say, it's part of the package. So you need more of the Holy Spirit in your life? Well, you're never going to get more of the Holy Spirit, but maybe the Holy Spirit can have a lot more of you, huh? That is what is important. So what is the, if you want to break it down into, if you say, okay, give me some how-tos, all right? You want some how-tos? Let's think about that. First of all is desire, wanting it. You know what Jesus said? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. What will happen? For they will be filled. Oh, okay, so I'm hungering and thirsting after righteousness. I'm wanting more than what I am experiencing, and it just doesn't seem like what I'm experiencing lines up with what God has promised. And it's because somehow I'm not trusting in the promise. Or maybe I have let this whole thing stagnate and I've forgotten the promises. Or maybe I'm ignorant of what are my rights. What is my heritage as a child of God? And part of that heritage is the Holy Spirit. an active God living and acting inside of you. A great and a great big God, a powerful God, a holy God, a wonderful God living his life inside of you. See, we try, that's part of our problem, part of our sin, to live the Christian life on our own power. Oh, if I'm more sincere, if I try a lot harder, then I can do it. No, you can't. When you finally say, I'm not going to try anymore, I'm going to let the Holy Spirit do it. That's when you begin to experience the power. It is, you see, the next thing is you present every part of your life to God. Present yourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Oh, the will of the Lord is that I present every area of my life. And then what do I do with that? Because I find that so much of that doesn't measure up. This is what we call confession of sin. And that is admitting to God, I have come short. I am not doing what you want me to do, and I've done what you didn't want me to do. Ah, it must mean I'm a sinner. I think I need cleansing by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the blood of Jesus Christ, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. And then the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sins. So, emptied, cleansed, and then what does he want to pour into that empty vessel? The Spirit. Now, Jesus once said, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? What is asking? It is simply an exercise of faith. How did you become a child of God? Through faith in Christ Jesus. Oh, how do I be filled? How am I filled with the Holy Spirit? By faith in the promise of God. And that's it's really uncomplicated. You see, God does not want us to be questioning what, why, you know, what do I, you know, I don't get it. But he just wants us to believe those simple promises that are for us in the Word. Do you think maybe God may have more for your Christian life than you have been allowing yourself to experience? Have you maybe said, okay, I'm not as connected as I need to be? Do you need to be more in the Word, just loving the Word of God and just letting the Holy Spirit minister to you in that Word? You need more of the fellowship and the upbuilding of brothers and sisters in the faith? Do you need more? Do you need to see what all has God invested in the body and the blood at the altar when we receive the Holy Sacrament? What about all the blessings that continue to flow and it's like water flowing so that you can walk wet in your baptism every day? Whoa. What blessings the Holy Spirit has for his people. Yeah, and now you have to put your own name in that. For me. Yeah. Now, so how do we receive that? It's just simply by faith. Prayer is an exercise of faith. If we pray according to the will of God, what will happen? He will do it. Is being filled with the Holy Spirit the will of God? Well, of course, if he commands it, be filled with the Holy Spirit, that's the will of God. So it's just a simple matter of asking. Isn't our God gracious and wonderful? And he doesn't want to make it complicated for us. He doesn't want us to live in the superficial. He wants us to live in the supernatural. Yeah, he wants to get our suspenders, you know, onto his side mirror so that we can go where he goes and track where he wants to lead us, giving us all the wisdom and everything that we need for that life.